Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Would you join us here tonight on Love Connection Bible Study as we are beginning our Bible study? We're excited tonight about the subject of examining Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, and having some conversation about that. We also have with us Dr. Nooks in the Bible study, and looks like we've got others who are coming later tonight. But we're going to begin with song, scripture, and prayer. And as always, we're glad to have you with us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Especially today.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. Susie has given us two scriptures. First is Proverbs 11:28, and I'm reading from the Message. A life devoted to things is a dead life, a stump. A God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. And then Jeremiah 17:7-8, and this is in the New Living Translation. Knowing this, it doesn't have the scriptures, the verses marked here, Dr. Susie, but I'm going to think it's a start reading at verse 4, and you can tell me if I go too far. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they have stopped, and they never stop producing fruit. Truly God adds a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? God, as we come to you today, we are asking the question, what on earth am I here for? As we examine Rick Warren's purpose-driven life, and we come up with our own questions and we dialogue about what we read, we're interacting with the book online, and we ask that others who are listening, and we encourage you to read this book with us and talk with us about the book. We're not professing, oh God, tonight to be experts at Rick Warren's book. But Lord, we come to you asking that you would give us revelation knowledge on how to take what we're learning and expand it and utilize it to our lives as believers, as we ascertain what we hear you tell us as we read through this book and use the scriptures. We ask as well, oh God, that you would send people to dialogue with us, send people to the Bible study to ask questions, to interact and to get involved, that they can truly seek your face on how to grow and understand the purpose that you have for them, for their lives as well. We ask these blessings tonight and every night this month, throughout this year, that we will continue to grow, to be your children, to focus on your direction for our lives, and to listen to what you have for us and what you want us to learn and to grow, ways we can be like you. In Christ's name we pray and we thank you tonight. Amen.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord. So, tonight we're beginning the dialogue about what on earth am I here for? What on earth am I here for? And Dr. Nooks, just thanking you so much for being present tonight. It's kind of hard to do this without you. So I'm asking us to just go back in light of the question, what am I on earth? What am I here for? And we hear the scripture that you read from the Message. A life devoted to things is a dead life, a stump. A God-shaped life, however, is a flourishing tree. Let me read that again. A life devoted to things is a dead life, a stump, whereas a God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. Proverbs 11:28. Before we begin, I just want to again thank everybody for coming. Thank you, Brett. I see you're online tonight. And I'm asking you the question, how did you ascertain what you were on this earth for? And I'm asking directly to you, Dr. Nooks, and to Brother Britt, what and how did you ascertain what you were on this earth for?
Well, this is James. I believe we're on earth to praise God and to fulfill the purpose that God has for us in our lives. But we've got to find
Amen.
That purpose. And we've got to stay devoted and committed to God in order to even think about living out that purpose in our lives. I think the text is very interesting and it's very, very strong in helping us to understand that most of the things that we think we're here for, the text tells us is dead, and a stump. A stump is something short, and it doesn't go very far. But that which we do is committed to God is a flourishing tree, and that lasts forever. So, but most of us have concentrated on getting an education, getting a job, providing for our families, getting a house, getting a car, getting a retirement, getting clothes, and all these
all right
are
now.
Things, and they're dead. I mean, they don't, I don't know. I've lived long enough to understand that those things really don't make you feel like you're alive. They don't touch your spirit. Being in the presence of God and being with people that you love touches your spirit. I mean, it's different. And all the things, it's like these people that are in the hurricane now, they've lost a lot, but they're things. Things can be rebuilt, but people can't. Sometimes relationships can't. And we don't want our relationship with God to end. That needs to, and we need to keep that strong in order for us to flourish.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Brother Britt,
yes.
You got a response to that?
Well, for me, I was raised up in the church, and my mother and father did not put any expectations on me as to what they wanted me to do in life. They didn't say, I think you'd be good at being a lawyer, a doctor, anything like that. They left it up to me. But one of the things that I was dead set against was becoming a minister, because I've had people in church tell me, oh, you were born to be a minister. And that's just not me, because I'm cut differently. I can't play the politics game when it comes to being a pastor of a church or even an assistant pastor. And so when I was going through some stuff with my wife and contemplating divorce, and I had good grounds for it, and I asked God to give me direction on what he wanted me to do. And over, I think it was about a month and a half, I got my answer, and it came as a shock to me, because I used to go over here in Indianapolis. There's a university called Butler University. I lived about four blocks from it, and I used to walk over to a pond that they have there, and there was a big boulder, and I would sit on that boulder and I would pray. And one night, the security stopped me as I was getting ready to walk back, they said, you know, we've been seeing you sitting here, and we know you're praying and stuff, but who was the person that was with you? I said, there wasn't anybody with me. They said, yeah, there was somebody. They had on some dark clothes, but they were sitting right next to you. That gave me my answer then. I knew the guide had put a protective angel to guide me, and it was made known to me through those campus police. And from then, I gave my spiritual and mental being to the Word of God. Start studying the Bible. Got into school. Also, T. Garrett Benjamin started classes at Light of the World Christian Church for young and upcoming ministers. There was a pastor named Joy Thornton here who basically gave me Wednesday to practice my craft. And I had charge of his midweek service at his church. And there was a few others around. Andrew Brown was alive at the time. So I've had a lot of mentors and stuff. Dr. Gurdon, all of them came and gave me a place to practice my preaching and giving me pointers on what I should be doing. And if I messed up some wording or something in the Bible, they helped me with that. So as I grew and God opened up my mind and my heart for me to understand exactly what the Word says, I realized that people kept telling me, well, we interpreted the Bible this way. Well, the Bible's in plain English. There's nothing to interpret. It is written the way it is. And when people start chopping up the Bible to make it fit whatever they're trying to get their point across, that's wrong. And I have to stop them. As they say, put them in check. Dr. Susie knows I do that. But the main thing is that I want to make sure that whoever hears my sermon or whoever hears a word of wisdom from me, they understand that it's coming from a place of knowledge, not for something that I think it is. Because I've lived a full life, and it's been exciting. So there's a lot of things that I come in contact with, and I use that on a daily basis when I come in contact with people that need to have help. It's just that simple.
Amen. So everybody has given us these examples of this text, a life devoted to things is a dead life, a stump, but a God-shaped life. That's what you all have been talking about, is a flourishing tree. Yes.
I just wanted to say one more thing, and that's Britt kind of sparked it off the thought in my mind, but our purpose for God as we walk this journey, our purpose in life can change. I mean, it's still the purpose to serve God. I mean, that's an overall purpose, but our specific task that God has for us can change over time, over locations. Sometimes you can be called to a certain ministry. Later on, you might be called to another ministry. I just wanted to bring that out to those that might be listening in, that we can have an overall, you know, purpose of serving God, but the specific ministries that God gives us and gifts that God gives us and how we use them can change over time. Because you might have a gift of prophecy, and it may manifest itself in a different time for different people. And you may not, in other words, you may not use all the gifts that God has given you or all the abilities God's given you all at the same time. It may change over time.
All right.
So let's examine this text that says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They are like trees planted along a river bank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they go right on producing delicious fruit. And,
man.
You know, it's funny. I'm sitting here thinking about all the things that we've been talking about, and it's really, really clear that these things, all of our life, ministry, who we are, what we're called to be, what we're called to do, what we're here for, who we're here to be with, all those things. I think we know the answer, but we really don't know the answer until we've consulted God. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. So if you haven't consulted God before you go and do something, then you may have done the wrong thing.
My Lord.
You may be with the wrong person.
Amen.
You may not be doing what God called you to do. And you may be doing, and you may have gone in the direction that God didn't want you to. God may have wanted you to do what you were doing. I mean, the issue is consulting God, trusting God to be the director of your path. The trees are like planted along a riverbank. What's the significance of being planted along the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water? What's the significance of that? Anybody?
Stability. I mean, you're not going to be blown over by any wind or doctrine. You're not going to be, your fruit bearing is not stopped because of, you might be in an area where there's a lot of sin, a lot of anger, a lot of, even in a war area. But if you're anchored. Mm-hmm. My soul has been anchored to the Lord. If your roots are deep and they're reaching, I mean, God is feeding those roots. And if they're deep, then it, like the willow tree, it can bend with the wind, but it's not going to break. You know, so we got to have deep roots to stand.
But the issue, Dr. Nooks, that's blowing me away, that I'm listening to, even on what you just said, if you got deep roots, then you need to not try to dig up your tree. You need to be still. You need to let God direct you. You need to consult God. The purpose of having the deep roots in the first place is because you dug deep into the Word and you let yourself be planted there because of the relationship you have with God. But oftentimes, we do stuff that has nothing to do with God. We act a certain way. We operate a certain way. And we want to say this is how it's supposed to be. But God ain't had nothing to do with that. That ain't even a biblical concept that we're using to stand on. We're just operating on how we feel about it. Where it says we're supposed to be trusting in God with our roots planted. And I mean that's just blowing me away, because it's not in one aspect of life, it's in every aspect of life. What do you think, Brett?
I was just getting ready to say something. I've heard that many times, and one of the things that immediately grasped me when I heard that passage, you wonder why he would use the term a tree planted by the river. Simply because, mm-hmm. one, the the river provides the nourishment that your tree has to have. A tree has to be watered. And if the roots go deep, that means that it's not gonna slide off that riverbank into the river. But those roots have gone so far down, and it's able to drink. It's able to produce fruit if it is a fruit tree.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's going to have leaves that are going to shade and give you shade and give you a place to rest and be comfortable. And when we are when we receive the word, that is our spiritual nourishment. That's our food that we should be able to draw from and to draw our energies from, and to know that when God gives us food and we partake of it, the thing is that we have to know in our hearts that God has a purpose for us. And whether you're a minister or whether you walk down the aisle one Sunday and said, I give my life to Christ, God told you what your purpose is. And when you deviate from what your purpose is, you're not doing what God wants you to do. To me, that's sort of like a slap in the face to God. I mean, how many times are you going to slap him just because you want to do something because you think that you need to do this or you need to do that? Yeah.
But, Brett, you just brought up a perfect question. Is what is it that gets us, to think that we're doing, that we're not doing what it is that God wants us to do? Because many times, I think Dr. Nick said in the beginning, that we will start doing our own thing, stuff that we feel like we should be doing or what our interests are or where our interests lie or directions we want to go in.
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes from frustration. Being a Christian is not easy, and being a minister for Christ is not easy. And I think sometimes we get frustrated simply because we look for an answer for something, and we think we got the answer, but it's not the answer that God wanted to give us. And then there's also, you have to keep in mind every day. Yeah, every day you got outside influences that are saying, oh, man, that didn't work. You need to give up on that. And that's not what God wants you to do. Or you got somebody at home. You got somebody at home that's pulling your chain because they're not getting what they want to get from you. You have to understand that even though you may be married or you got a girlfriend or somebody or you got kids and stuff, they may not see you as a minister. They see you as daddy. They see you as a husband. They knew you before you became a minister. Or they knew what your life was like before you got with them. The thing is, you gotta not only speak the word, but you gotta practice the word. And that's something that you can't give up on. And one of the things that ministers make a big mistake in, they say one thing in the pulpit, get home and do something entirely different. Because they don't think anybody sees.
And Dr. Lee, I want to raise that all of God's people have ministries. So, some people may be called to a pastorship. They may be called to be a deacon, whatever. But all of God's children have ministry. So in a way, we're all ministers.
The priesthood.
Royal priesthood of believers. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
But that's important. But I wanted to bring up another point, because sometimes we can, and you bring the issue about how do we know that maybe we're not doing what God wants us to do. And I think that's hard, because I think we have to really be in prayer and seek God and in God's word and experience the Spirit of God in order for us to know that we're on the right path, because I think we can go to church all of our lives and be going down the wrong path, because we think that this is what we're supposed to do based on
whatever. Mm-hmm.
But,
what everybody's told us, this is what church is. You know, church is you go to church all the time. Church is you become a pastor. Church is you become a deacon, or, you know, church is you serve on the usher board. What if church is you go to the local coffee shop and tell people about Jesus? What if church is you go to the ballpark and play basketball with people and then share the word with them? You know, and that may be what God wants you to do, but you can't get to it because you can't break away from the traditions of church. So that's why I say it's so hard, and we have to really be in prayer, because I think a lot of people are doing stuff God has no intention of them doing, but they're doing it because they think that's what it means to be in church and to be a Christian. But I believe being a Christian is so much more than what people think it is. And the boundaries, there are no boundaries as to how we can reach people and where we can reach them at. But yet we're locked in to this tradition of going to a church building and being a member of a church and stay there all your life, and you never go out beyond the neighborhood. You don't evangelize. But you go to church, you keep the church going, you pay your tithes, offering, you go to Bible study sometimes, and you don't really get to where God wants you to be. I think God has so much that he wants us to do. I just wanted to share that for our listeners.
And
Dr. Nooks.
And Dr. Nooks, go ahead, Brett. Go ahead. I'll follow you, Brett. Go ahead.
Okay. Dr. Lutz, I agree with you, because a lot of times people don't really know what they're talking about. You know, we've talked about this over the years that we've had this Bible study. A church is not, well, I'll put it this way. If anybody has read their Bible, and I know people have heard this every year in church, a preacher's going to preach on it, about the woman at the well, because she was talking about where people are supposed to worship at.
Oh.
And she's got the author right in front of her and don't even realize. We have to get out of the notion that church is that building that has four walls and a ceiling and a basement. That's not church.
My Lord.
Jesus didn't have a church. He just went to a mountainside somewhere, and he started talking, and people started coming.
Amen.
Well,
that's church.
Amen.
You get four or five people in your home, and you start talking about the Bible. You start having Bible study. That's church.
That's church. That's church. Amen.
Church. Church is bringing the Word of God up and edifying it and lifting the name of Jesus and God the Father up so that
Amen.
We can glorify his name.
Amen.
That's what church is about.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's not about you going and sitting in a pew, and as old people used to say, well, I got to pay my dues. No dues being paid. We ain't taking tickets here. You
my
pay
Lord.
A tithe.
Well,
because you were told to give a tenth of your earnings. If you obey the word, you're going to find that the tenth that you give is going to come back to you 10 times. That's the law. Just like if you breathe air in, you got to exhale it. Okay? What you exhale goes into the trees and stuff. The trees produce oxygen. The plants do that. And it germinates and allows us to continue to breathe air. And we have to start looking at the Word of God the same way. You can't sit in church making $1,200 every 2 weeks and give $10. That ain't cutting it. That's
well,
you defying one of the laws that Jesus has taught. That God has said, and that's from the beginning. That's from the beginning of Christianity. The other thing is, honor people, help them, love them, feed your neighbors. help clothe them, help them with gas money if that's what they need. If you got the means to do that, then you need to be doing that. Because God wants us to love each other. That's what all of us are here for, is to love each other. If you love each other, you're going to help one another. You got some families, one of them gets a promotion at work, and they know that mama needs some groceries or something. They're not even going to come and get mama, take her to the grocery store. They're not going to go to the store and buy groceries and bring it to mama's house. They wait on somebody else in their family to do that. And that's not being a Christian, but yet and still they sit their tail down on the bench Sunday morning. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Knowing they are not doing what God wants them to do. I'm done.
Amen. And Brett, you are absolutely right in talking about how, you know, the example of trees producing, converting carbon dioxide to oxygen. Yeah, just to give clarity to that. All the wonderful things you're sharing with us about what it is that we have to do. You know, the great illustrations I think all of us are sharing tonight as it relates to what it is that we can get trapped in our lack of understanding. And I guess what I was saying is sometimes we don't consult God, and I think that's the issue. Sometimes we do not consult God, but we grow up and we are asking of ourselves, well, what is it that I want to do? What is it that I seem to have a gift to do? What is it that, am I good in math? Am I good?
Hello?
Hello, Dr. Susie. We lost you.
Yeah, she just cut off. Did you press mute by accident, Dr. Susie?
Let me send her a text while we're still on here.
Okay.
Her phone acts up sometime.
Yeah, I know. Mine did the same thing a minute ago when she first started, and I had to dial back in real fast.
Give her a few minutes here. But for those that are listening,
no problem.
Yeah, those that are listening in, we're trying to share the word, you know, about how, you know, our lives are really dependent on and on God. Talking about the roots going deep. And
there you go.
We brought up about the water being able to get to it, but also the soil that feeds the roots. All that is in there and in God's plan, but we have to stay in God in order to really be able to stand, because Satan tries to knock us over every chance he gets. And if we don't have, if we're not grounded in God and in God's word and in God's spirit, then we easily fall. It doesn't take much to knock us over. And some of us are like that sower that sowed the seeds, and some of it didn't take root. And you know, they were easily knocked over, the plants were, because they didn't have any roots. And we're concerned about, you know, Christians that have a faith that doesn't have roots, then it's shaky.
Amen. Hey, Dr. Nooks, this is Brett.
Yes.
I had a thought about that. Now, if everybody really thinks about this, everything that is alive on this earth or in this earth has to be fed. Everything.
Amen.
Thank you all for helping me. I was kicked off the line, and I'm not sure if I'll be able to stay on. I don't know what's going on with the phone. But I guess what I was trying to say earlier, I don't know what you guys talked about when I was kicked off the line, but I was talking about the idea of how we ask our own selves these questions about what it is I should, you know, self-centered questions like, what do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my goals, my ambitions, my dreams for my future? But I think, can we really understand who we are or what we're supposed to be and to do if we're asking ourselves the question? Because the Bible says, if we truly believe in the Bible, and it is God who directs the lives of God's creatures, everyone's life is in God's power. Wow. What does that mean? When we read Colossians 1:16, that says, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything God started in him and finds its purpose in him. So, or in God. So, why are we asking? It's like if you see a guy who creates a machine, right, who is an inventor, and the inventor creates this concoction, and you're introduced to it, the question is, do you know what it is or what it's supposed to do? And what's the answer? No. And does the thing know what it's supposed to do? What's the answer? No.
No.
Who knows what it's supposed to do?
The inventor.
The inventor.
Mm-hmm.
And so how many of us grew up thinking, oh, I'm going to be a veterinarian. I knew I was going to be a veterinarian. You know, I'm going to be a veterinarian. I didn't ask God nothing. I went to school, went to college, worked with animals, biology, love biology. I'm going to be a veterinarian because I'm good at biology. I love animals. That's how I'm going to be a veterinarian.
All right.
I did not go to God and ask God, Lord, you created me. You know, you put me on this planet. You are the one who knows everything about how it was formed and fashioned. What is it that you desire for my life?
My Lord.
Did any of you do that as well? And did any? Let's just start there with just that one thing. Did any of you do that? Or am I the only one?
Oh, I think I started out, you know, wanting to be a lawyer, then I wanted to be an engineer, and then after I was an engineer for a long time, and then I came to realize that I was a pastor and a Christian that happens to be an engineer. And many of us, if we are children of God, then we ought to realize that, you know, I'm an usher, but I just happen to be an accountant. You know, it's...
Well,
we put the secular thing sometimes ahead of the spiritual blessing that God has for us and wants us to be to other people. You know, somebody can be, you know, they can be a pastor, but they happen to be, you know, a technician, or they happen to be a lawyer, or we can be, you know, my ministry is to the youth, but I just happen to be a teacher. My ministry is to the elderly, but I just happen to be a doctor. You know, but we get the thing all twisted around, and we turn it around the other way and say, oh, I'm a doctor. and you just sometimes you even forget about, well, I'm also a minister, or I'm a minister first and then I'm a doctor. But I learned that over time. I didn't learn that right away. It took me a long time to understand that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But this is Brett.
So we,
for me.
Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah. This, I was going to say, for me, my dad always told me that he wanted me to finish high school and if I could to go to college. The thing is that he only went to the sixth grade, and my mother was a high school teacher in Laurel. And she taught him to read and write, add, subtract, all that good stuff. And he had a successful business being a contractor. I saw my dad struggling. So my thing was, if I went in the military and I put in 20 years, I could retire and get a check every month. That was my goal. But then after I got married, my goal changed because I had a wife that didn't want to be a military wife. And so that caused problems. So I got out and I started working like everybody else. But then as I went on, things didn't get any better between us. And my mother kept telling me, you got to hang in there. You got to do this. You got to do that. I hung in there for 15 years. After that, I gave it to God. And I didn't look back after I did that because God gave me my direction. And it's like I picked up my anchor and I start running with it. And I have, and I'm still doing what God wants me to do.
And that is truly the key. I'm glad you brought that up, Brett, because we have to understand that looking within ourselves is not the answer. That's not how you discover life's meaning, by looking
Amen.
In yourself. Because we didn't create ourselves. So there's no way you can tell yourself what you were created for. Right? And so only
Amen.
The creator
Amen.
And the owner's manual can reveal each of our purposes. And we weren't the ones that created. So focusing on ourselves is never going to reveal our life's purpose. So the reality
Amen.
Is this. We have to begin with God. We have to begin with God. We have to understand that God is
Amen.
The one in which directs our everything. And sometimes I think we get mixed up when we start saying, I want this or I want that, or you know, are not even understanding that I don't think this person is for me. I don't think that person is for me. And we don't consult God. We don't know what God's purpose was, or because we made up our own mind on what we're doing. We decided
All right.
what things should be like or who we should be with or how we should exist. It says, let me read this little excerpt. In the same way, you cannot arrive at your life's purpose by starting with a focus on yourself. You must begin with God, your creator. You exist only because God wills that you exist. You were made by God and for God. Now, that's the clincher.
All right.
You
All
were
right.
made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. It is only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. Wow.
Amen.
So life is about letting God use us, right? And to direct
Amen.
Our lives. And when we start directing it,
Amen.
We go the wrong direction. Sometimes we mess things up.
Almost all the time.
But see, that's why
yeah.
we can always come to him and ask him for forgiveness.
Yeah, but we need to be, see, just like we start asking, doing what we want to do with, I want to do this for a job, I want to do, we need to ask God what God wants us to do with everything. Everything. And we may not like
Amen.
What God may say. But we're so determined to do it our way. We're gonna do our own thing. And I'm totally sitting here listening to this and hearing what God is saying to me about, you know, from now on, and understand that my life is about letting God use me in every aspect of my life. Every aspect of my life. Use me to go right. Use me to go left. Use me to jump over here. Use me to do ministry over here. Use me. It's about what God's plan is and was, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's hard for some of us to grasp that because we still think our life is our own. And that's a big wake up when we forget and we start to remember that.
Right.
You know.
Amen.
So I like yes.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I know for me, before God was telling me what he wanted me to do, my thing was, I always did what I thought was best for me, and I get out there so far, it's like, sort of like when people are fishing, you cast that line out, and that line will run, and then all of a sudden, you'll get a bite, and you try to bring it back in, and it won't come back in. You have to struggle with that, and you hope you don't break your line. You hope the fish don't get away. And sometimes that's the way life was for me. I get out there, and then I get in a situation where, how did I get here? What am I doing here? And then I try to find my way back. And sometimes I just had to stop and pray and ask God to help me get back. So he let me then
go
out there.
It should have been all the time, Brett.
Yeah, but it should have been
all the time, not some of the time. And all of us have done that. That's a perfect example. And that's what I'm saying. Even when we think, you know, we're doing what we got to be careful. We're not doing what we want to do versus what's biblically written that we should do. God gives us a plan, and we can see what God says through God's word. And if we're not willing to follow God's word, that's another story, because then we're going to go in the wrong direction.
All right. Amen.
So,
amen.
If we're willing to go God's way, praying to God, asking for directions, being grounded in God's principles and making our decisions. Because we can make decisions and not consult God and then say, I'm following God. That don't work either. So it's not an easy task, but it's in that relationship with God that we have, how we can be led. And then if we go the wrong direction, God can send us back to way. God can fix it as soon as we realize, okay, we got off track here. We weren't paying attention to God. We weren't listening to God. God has a plan and a purpose. Are we following that? You know. So I think that's the focus. Is it teaches us. This guy said, I thought this was cool. It says, being successful and filling your life's purposes are not the same issue. That's interesting, right? It says,
amen.
You can reach all your personal goals, becoming a raving success by the world standards, and still miss the purposes for which God created you. And you need more than self-help advice. The Bible says self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to find yourself, your true self, your true direction. Now, that's something else.
All right.
Amen.
So,
self-sacrifice. Amen.
It is. And realizing that sometimes we think, well, if it's difficult, we ought not be going that way. Well, that ain't what this says right here. It says sometimes self-sacrifice is the way. But if we forget and haven't consulted God, then we may go another direction because we weren't willing to pay to do the hard work, to pay,
all right,
to pay the sacrifice. Anyway, how then do you discover the purpose you were created for? That's the question of the evening. How do you discover the purpose you were created for? The first option, are there two options? And the first option, according to Rick Warren, is that speculation. And that's what most people choose. They guess, they theorize. Oh, I've always thought life was this. This is the best guess I can come up with, right? And that's probably kind of what we did in the beginning. But if we do what we said earlier, and that is go back to the Word of God, there's an alternative to speculation about the meaning and purpose of life, and it's revelation. And how do we discover revelation? We turn to God's Word, right?
Amen.
What God has revealed about life and God's Word. And so that's why we do Bible study. That's why we come every week and we try to review the scriptures and to search them and to learn. And, you know, tonight y'all was sharing some stuff to me because, you know, as much as we've been doing Bible study, I just really wasn't paying attention to the fact that this is church.
Amen.
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 Amen. It's definitely church.
So the easiest way, the easiest way to discover the purpose of an invention is to ask the Creator. We already said that. So the same is true for discovering your life's purpose as well. We should be asking who?
God.
Amen. And guess what? God hadn't left us in the dark to wonder and to guess what to do. He's revealed to us, according to Rick Warren, he says there are five purposes. That's interesting. But we were reviewing the book that God has revealed five purposes for our lives through the Bible. And it says it is our owner's manual explaining why we're alive, how life works, what to avoid, what to expect in the future. It explains what no self-help or philosophy book can know. The Bible says God's wisdom goes deep into the interior of God's purposes. It's not the latest message, but more like the oldest. What God determined as the way to bring out his best in us. It says God is not just the starting part of your life. God is the source. Come on, somebody. The source. The source of it.
Right.
So in order to discover our purpose in life, we've got to go to God's word, not the world's wisdom. We've got to build our life on eternal truths, not on psychology, not on self-motivation, not on inspirational stories, but the Bible says, right? It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had design on us for glorious living. Part of our overall purpose is he was working out in everything and everyone his purpose. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. Wow. So, it says, and I want to read these and I'm through. You discover your identity and purpose through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, we've been preaching that throughout this Bible study, haven't we, Dr. Nook? Haven't we, Britt?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
So that has been the key, the cornerstone of this Bible study. Two, God was thinking of you long before you ever thought about God. God's purpose for your life predates your conception. Well, come on. God planned it before you existed without your input. Well, you may choose your career, your spouse, your hobbies, and many other parts of your life. but you don't get to choose your purpose. And if you consult God, you probably wouldn't
Amen.
Get to choose those either.
Amen.
Now, what y'all think about that, really?
Mm.
And the last one says, the purpose of your life fits into a much larger cosmic purpose that God has designed for eternity. Wow.
Amen.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe we're all connected, and I think sometimes we don't realize it. I think a lot of times we don't. And sometimes we don't even see it till we've gone through it, and we can look back and say, wow, that's why God
mm-hmm.
would be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be ready for this here if God hadn't put me in that situation 20 years ago. But now, since I've gone through that, now I can share with somebody else how they can get through it. And also, I was meant to be in this place at this time, and I would not be in this place at this time if God had not caused that man or that woman to do this or that in my life to cause me to be here at this time where God wants me to be.
Well,
amen.
Well,
amen.
And that's amazing. That is amazing. And sometimes we can look back and we can see that and say, wow, if I hadn't have done
mm-hmm.
that 30 years ago, you know, and God knew about it all, way back then, and he knew what I was going to be doing now if I followed him. So it's amazing. God is amazing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I have learned a whole bunch tonight. Yes.
Yeah, this is Brett. There was something that I remembered, and I just looked it up. Ephesians 1, verse 11 through 14, kind of says it this way, what you had just said. In him we were all chosen, also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
Well,
when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And 14 says, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the glory or to the praise of his glory.
Amen.
God's possessions. Amen.
There you go.
So as we close, I want us to think about our purpose. And the point to ponder is, it's not about me. And I confess, I've been wrong because, you know, in so many areas, I just realized tonight it's not about me. It is not about me. It's about what God wants to do in my life.
Amen.
Where God wants me to go, the ministry God has for me, the ministry God wants me to share, who God wants me to share the ministry with, how I'm supposed to do it. This is about, not about me, because I am God's. I'm God's. I'm purposed for God's use. So when I start putting my hand in it, I've messed up. So verse to remember. Everything got started in God and finds its purpose in God. Colossians 1:16b. That was the message. And question to consider, in spite of all the advertising around me, how can I remind myself that life is really about living for God, not myself? Dr. Nooks, can you I ask everybody if they would give me their final understanding of the text, and then Dr. Nooks, could you close us in prayer and an invitation?
Yes.
Anybody else have anything y'all want to say?
Well, I wanted to say that there may be, and it, I guess this goes into the prayer, so somebody else can go ahead and talk first. But if
Brett,
if you don't
have anything you want to say?
No, I'm still.
We said it all, right?
Got that?
Okay.
There you go.
Then I wanted to say.
We just gotta be true to God's word. That's all.
There may be somebody that's going through something tonight, and you're going through it, and you got your roots in God's word, and you're trying to be the child that God wants you to be, and just wants you to know that God has your life in God's plan. You're in God's plan, and God's going to make a way for you through this situation, and whatever you're going through now that seems difficult. I think it's going to be to the glory of God. I think there's something that is going to come out of it that's going to help you later on. But I just want you to know that God is with you now through that,
all right,
that situation. God, we thank you for Bible study tonight, and we thank you for all those that will listen in. We pray that
yes,
people can come to understand that it's not about me, but it's about you. And
yes,
that my purpose in life is to serve you and to praise you. And God, I want to be humble and submissive to your will.
Yes.
And it's difficult. And I have all kinds of things against me. I've got tradition. I've got the church. I've got my job. I've got our culture. And God, all that says it's about me. But God, I know that it should be about you. So touch my spirit and remind me of whose I am.
Mm-hmm.
And who I should be serving. Because sometimes,
yes,
God, my head gets hard and gets confused, and Satan is busy trying to tear me down. But God, I submit myself to you because I need you to lift me up and put me on the right course and open my eyes, open my ears, help me to see and to hear clearly,
yes,
what you are saying and showing me, God. And I need that tonight. And I ask for it in Jesus' name. I ask for you to show me my purpose.
Yes, Lord.
And God, I pray for many that will be on the line, God, tonight that want to give their life to Christ, and they're struggling with maybe making a decision, and some have already made a decision, but they don't quite know how. And we just want you, if you're on the line and listening in, just pray with me. God, I'm a sinner. I know that I've done wrong. But God, right now, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died on the cross and he rose again from the dead. And God, he's at the right hand of you right now pleading my case. And God, I just want Jesus to come into my life, to be my Lord and to be my Savior. God, I want to be guided by your spirit and learn by your word.
Yes.
And God, I give my life to you tonight. I just want you to be just come in, God, and take control. I give myself to you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Right now. Yes. And if you prayed that with me, you're saved tonight. And we're excited about you. And heaven is having a party right now and celebrating because somebody has come to Christ. God, we know that Satan is trying to stop it, but we know that your saints,
yes,
need to be prayed up and moving and testifying and praising your name, so that you can be lifted up above all this junk that's going on in the world right now. Satan is trying,
amen,
to tear us down, God, and we need you right now. We need your spirit. We need your word. We need your presence, God. Thank you for all that you are in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 We look to you next week as we continue our study of what on earth am I here for?
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.